Let's turn again to 1 Peter chapter 5, and we'll read verses 6 and 7. 1 Peter 5, verses 6 and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. One of the great impediments to a profitable use of the Lord's Supper is an abundance of anxiety. And sometimes, as the Lord's Supper looms, the devil enters the lives of God's people and seems to stir up more cares and takes existing cares and makes them even greater, heavier, worse than they were before. And sometimes as we approach that Lord's Day, these cares just become such a great barrier to us, deterring us from going to the Lord's table, or just draining our enjoyment and profit at the Lord's table. And so one of the most important things we can do as we prepare for the Lord's table is to follow this verse, to cast all our care upon him, for he cares for us. We'd like to look this morning, first of all, at your care, then secondly, your caregiver, and then thirdly, at your casting. First of all, though, your cares. This is what the Apostle Peter brings before us. He describes it as all your care. Now, the literal meaning of that word is painful anxiety. The word is used in other places to depict a heavy burden that crushes the shoulders, or a powerful force that rips at the heart. In other words, it's either something that weighs us down or that rips our heart apart. And in fact, it's the latter use that is most common. In other words, this is speaking of something extremely influential in our life, something that has huge impact upon us. It's whatever weighs us down, and it's whatever tears us apart. Of course, that can have many, many different sources. It can have many different appearances and faces. It might be it cares for your own soul as you think about your own spiritual condition. And it's good to have a level of care for your soul, a level of anxiety even. It's not good to be thoughtless and prayerless and careless about your own soul. And yet, there's a level that reaches, that anxiety reaches, that it becomes inappropriate and sinful. And it's where we take that concern and anxiety and keep it for ourselves and don't bring it to the Lord. When we take these burdens, these thoughts about our own salvation, our own spiritual status, our own spiritual condition, where we are in our spiritual life, and we just keep it to ourselves, this becomes inappropriate, unhelpful, destructive. Our cares, though, may be on a much more mundane level. It might be the cares we have over maybe elderly parents that we're caring for or trying to provide for in some way or other. maybe cares about our children. So we're bringing them up. And we see things maybe going wrong, going awry. And we wonder, what can we do? We've tried this, we've tried that, we've tried everything. And still, things are no better, only worse. Maybe financial cares, worries about where the next dollar is going to come from. Will we have a check at the end of the month? How can I pay for this and this and this if my hours are being reduced and my pay is being reduced? Or if I'm going to lose my job? Maybe health cares. We're feeling maybe the impact of age, or maybe not age, just disease in our body or in our mind. And we are ill and we are weak, or we are fearing that is what's coming. Or we're maybe recovering, wondering how well are we going to recover? Will we ever get back to where we were before? Will we be able to fulfill our responsibilities and duties? Great care, crushing burdens and powerful ripping forces on our hearts that wear us down and wear us out. It might be concerns about our church, our congregation. It might be concerns about our nation. Which direction is our country going in? What are our leaders doing? How's this going to end up? What if this passes? What will we do? And all these cares and burdens come crushing in upon us and tear us apart. Our burdens might be about the past. We might be looking back. And this is something the devil often does when the Lord's Supper is approaching. He stirs up the memory of past sins. And he makes us worried about, are we really forgiven? Can I be forgiven? Or he makes us worry that, well, I am forgiven by God, but what if others find out? What if that time in my life, that incident, that encounter, what if that ever comes to light? God's forgiven and God's forgotten, but these things are such a way of catching up with us and finding us out. We maybe just our present responsibilities. We've just got too much in our lives. And our shoulders are just breaking under the weight and our heart is tearing apart at the seams. Or it might be the future. Fears about the future. All these fears, imaginary or real, that loom in front of us, and we've got all these what ifs. What if this and what if that? It might be one big care, one huge anxiety. It might be just lots and lots and lots of little ones. Maybe cares and anxieties that you can handle, you think, and also those you just cannot handle or cope with. Because notice he says it's all your care, the big one and the small ones, the ones you can't handle and the ones you think you can. He's basically asking you to feel the weight of these cares, to recognize them, to examine them, to study them, to list them, to go through them in your mind, to find out what is it that's just ripping my heart apart? What is it that's causing me to lose my appetite, to lose sleep, to lash out at others in my life? What are the tensions and the stresses? All your cares. And what can we do with them? If you do recognize that this and that and all these things are truly crushing you or ripping you, what then? Well, this is where Peter points us to. He points us to a caregiver. He careth for you. Here's someone with all these cares, all these anxieties, and here's someone who cares about these cares. It's interesting, the word, you look at this and you think, well, here's us, we are caring, we are anxious and so on, and then we're told he cares. Is this the same kind of care? His care and our care? Well, no, it's two different words. The care that we have is painful anxiety. That's the root meaning of it. The care that he has speaks of a kind interest, a loving concern. So here are people that are finding their cares to be a pain and an agony. And here's someone over here whose care for these people is that of a kind and a loving and a concerned father. And this is such a wonderful theme to keep in front of us as we move towards the remembrance of the Lord's death and his Holy Supper. He cares for you. He cares for you. Don't we often feel in the midst of these cares and anxieties, no one else cares? And at times you feel a bit bitter. You think people should care more. Other times you realize, well, everyone else has their care, so who can I go to? I mean, they've got enough in their life and he's got enough in the... This is where Peter points us. He cares for you. Ultimately, we take our cares to him, to our Heavenly Father. Because he knows our cares. And sometimes that itself can just relieve the weight and heal the heart a little, that someone else knows. Sometimes there are cares in our life that no one else knows about. There might be cares that only our wife or our closest family or friend know about. Other people look on and they might wonder about our conduct and behavior and our decisions, but we can't explain everything to them. They don't know, and we don't want them to know, maybe. But there are also cares that just known to us. Maybe that not even anyone else in the world knows. Sometimes that's necessary. Sometimes there are things that we've just got to keep within our own lives. But there's nothing that we can keep from him. And nothing that we should keep from him. Because he knows. He knows your public cares. He knows your private cares. He knows the cares you've shared. He knows the cares that you're carrying all alone. He knows the things that are tearing apart maybe many hearts in your family. But he also knows the things that are just tearing apart your own heart. That you cannot tell and you cannot share. It's just been maybe a secret burden for many, many years. But he knows. You have the psalmist speaking, don't you, of how God knows every tear. They're in his book. They're in his bottle, he actually speaks of. It's depicting God really as going around with a bottle, picking up every single tear of his people. Treasuring them. Noticing them, recording them. And so he knows every weight that presses upon you. He knows every single force that's ripping your heart. He knows. He sees. Nothing is hidden from him. But more than that, his care doesn't just mean he knows, he sympathizes. There are people that we can share the knowledge of our cares with. We can go and tell them, and maybe they'll just shrug their shoulders or, well, nod their head or just speak kind of polite words. And you watch them walk away and you think, well, what was the point in that? There's no sympathy there. There's no care. But God never shrugs his shoulders at his people's care. He's not like some cold statistician who's conducting research, who records his knowledge of you in a very calculating way on a clipboard. This is someone who is moved. In fact, we're told that Jesus is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. You think of the Lord Jesus here on this earth, and all that weighed him down, and all that tore at his heart. And now that same knowledge, that experience has been taken into the Godhead. It's been made part of God. That heart that was torn and these shoulders that were crushed are now part of God, as they were in this world. And so when we think of his knowledge, we think of sympathetic knowledge, of a heart that too has felt that force, and shoulders that have felt that weight, shoulders that never shrugged at the sufferings of others, a heart that was never cold, closed, and calculating to the pains and anxieties of others. So that when we go to him and tell him our cares, we know that he knows and we know that he feels. That's what sympathy means. It's feeling alongside with. Jesus knew what it was like to care for people 24/7. He knew what it was like to have all of the life's disappointments and frustrations. He knew what it was like to feel pain, to be betrayed, to be denied, to be rejected. He knew what it was like to be poor, to not know where the next shekel was coming from, to not even know where he was going to lay his head that night. He knew bereavement. He knew disappointment in relationships. He knew what it was like to have a squabbling, fighting family, both his own and his disciples. He sympathizes. So, his care is manifested in his knowledge, in his sympathy, but thirdly, in his action. It's all very well, isn't it, to have someone who knows. Yes, it's even better to have someone who cares. But how much better to have someone who actually does something, who acts, who moves into our situations. And this is part of God's care. And he does this in two main ways. He does it externally and he does it internally. Externally, first of all, he cares by acting externally. And that might mean that God comes into our situation and he removes the cause of the care, one way or another. He may do that in his mercy. He may reconcile that relationship. He may provide the dollars and the secure job. He may convert that prodigal son or daughter. He may come and bless an area of your life that has been agony for years. He may heal directly or indirectly through surgeons and medicines. He may take away the elderly parent that has been such a huge burden for so many years, causing such guilt in your life over your lack of care and over what you feel like when you do care, and over your all your guilt that you feel when you just resent the time and the hours and the energy and the unthankfulness. He may remove that. God acts externally. But He may also act externally by moving others to care for you. By putting it in someone else's heart to come into your life and say, "Can I help? What can I do? What can I give? What can I say?" And isn't it wonderful when we feel so bowed down and so anxious when somebody does come along and says, "You've been struggling with this too long alone. Let me help. Let me do something for you. How can I lend a helping hand?" And God does that with His people in the church. But He also does it by moving people from outside His church. When we go into hospital and we find a caring nurse or a thoughtful doctor who's maybe not a Christian, what do we do? "Well, that's a piece of good luck. That's a great coincidence." No. We trace it to the care of God. We immediately say, "He cares for me." That smile on that nurse's face, that extra mile that doctor went, that's my Heavenly Father. He cares for me. And in so many other ways, God provides care. It might be a nursing home. It might be a neighbour. It might be someone who offers you a job or extra hours. It might be someone who comes along with an answer to a spiritual problem you've got. It might be somebody who's passed through very similar waters to you, who's gone through the very similar experiences, who struggled maybe with coming to the Lord's table, and they look you up and they look you out and they come alongside and they speak a word or two, maybe even not consciously they're addressing something in your life. Sometimes so, but sometimes not. And it's just so suitable and it's so helpful. And you say, "He cares for me." Or maybe you come to church and you've got all these anxieties and the pastor preaches a sermon or has just a little section in his sermon or says something in his prayer and it just fits your case exactly. And you say, what a piece of good luck. No. You say, "He cares for me. He put that in the pastor's heart so that he might minister to me. He acts." Every instance of care, of help, of strength, of healing in our lives should be traced back to this great statement, "He cares for me." I wonder if there are things, if there are people in your life that you need to see in that light that maybe you haven't been doing so. And not to stop at just the hands God uses, but to trace these hands back to the hands of God. He cares for me. He also acts externally, though, by working to show us our own limits and by helping us to take some very standard steps, very common sense steps to take care of ourselves. It's not enough just to sit there and think, "Well, I've just got to wait until God cares for me," or "wait until He sends someone to care for me." Sometimes we just need to take care of ourselves a bit more. And God works in our lives by bringing us to see that and to take certain steps that will help us in this situation. A Christian psychologist I know said to me once that the three best pills are good sleep, a good diet, and good exercise. And sometimes that's just so missing in our lives, isn't it? The basics of life. That we are not following God's plan. We have neglected diet, we've neglected sleep, we've neglected exercise, and we're so surprised that we're so tense and anxious and uptight and unable to cope when we're not using the means God has provided for us to lessen these tensions and to help us cope with and carry these burdens better. And keep them in the right place and not let them get blown out of all proportion. So God acts externally. It reminds me of when I was not long in the ministry, I listened to a series of lectures by Pastor Al Martin on being a minister. And he was involved a lot in training young men for the ministry. And he said almost always, after about 6 months, he would start getting phone calls from these young pastors who'd sent out, "Pastor Martin, I can't preach, I can't pray, I can't read my Bible. It's just, I don't know what's happened. Maybe I'm not called to the ministry. Maybe this is all a big mistake." And he would say to them, "I'm going to ask you to do two things. And if you do them and it doesn't work, phone me back. First of all, are you taking time off?" And the answer of the young pastor would usually be, well, of course not. I'm a pastor and there's so much work to be done. And, you know, how can I relax when there are souls to be saved? And there's just sinners to be reached with the gospel." And Al Martin would intervene, he says, and say, "Look, you ask me for advice, take time off. Take one day off a week. Take a Sabbath. Take time out with your wife. At least one evening a week." "Okay, well, I'll try that," maybe the young pastor would say. And then secondly, Al Martin would say, "Go and break sweat 3 times a week." "Break sweat," said the young man. "But I mean, again, I'm a pastor. I just don't have time for that." Now Martin would say, "Well, you asked me for advice. That's the advice I'm giving you. Go, and if you do this and it doesn't work, phone me back." And he said in the lecture, he's never been phoned back. Sometimes God just needs to move us to take care of ourselves, to follow the steps he has provided in his word, to look after our own human nature. But God also works internally. He manifests his care for us by working in us as well as around us. You think, for example, of the courage he may put in your heart. You've got something in your life. You've got a problem to face day by day. You've got a child to raise that's just a nightmare. And it's just destroying you physically and mentally and emotionally and spiritually. And you think, maybe especially young mothers, how do I get up each morning and face this? And the temptation is just to lie there and mope. And God cares for you by putting courage in your heart, by taking away these fears and giving you the strength to resolve and to carry on and to face that day, to press on day after day after day. He may not take the problem away, in other words. He may not take what's causing this stress and this burden away, but he will give you the courage to face it, to endure it, and to get through it, and so lighten the load and lessen the tension in your life. He may give you wisdom. You're looking at this family situation, maybe, or this relationship, and you've tried everything. You don't know what to do next. You appeal to your Heavenly Father. "Lord, you care for me. Please help me. Please give me wisdom." And maybe over time, or maybe quite suddenly, you have an insight. You have a word, you have a verse, you have a truth, you have a strategy. And it works. He cares for me. He may give you faith, more faith, to believe and to trust. You're maybe thinking of the Lord's Supper next week and you feel your faith has become so weak and so overwhelmed by many things. And you feel there's more doubt in you than faith, more unbelief than belief. And this is causing you such anxiety, and you think, how can I ever come to the Lord's table like this? And God increases your faith. He strengthens that faith. He fans it into flame, so that by the time next Sunday comes, you're able to come, trembling, yes, but able. And again, you have to say, He cares for me. He's helped me again. He may give you hope in your heart. You know, sometimes you're looking at life, you're looking ahead, and you know, you're almost certain this situation is not going to change. How can I live if that's always going to be there? How can I live if I've got to live with this? And God somehow begins to show you the shortness of this life, the shortness of the sufferings of this present time. And He begins to kindle hope in you to look forward beyond this short time on this earth to heaven and to the time and the place when all these cares will be removed, when all these relationships problems will be no more, all these physical problems will be at an end, all financial problems, never have to think again how I'm going to earn another dollar, don't need to keep looking for work and applying for work. And all these anxieties over my spiritual condition that have lasted so long and it looks like they're just going to keep on lasting, they'll be gone the moment death comes. And I enter that heavenly kingdom, that place where there are no cares, no emotional cares, no mental cares, no relational cares, no financial cares, no spiritual cares. And with that hope, you're enabled to go on and press on. And keep going. And you say, He cares for me because He's given me that hope. Help me to look beyond and say, well, the sufferings of this present time, they're not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. And in many other ways, He strengthens us. He works in us. And He works around us. He works externally and internally to show He cares for me. But lastly, let's look at the casting. We've got all these cares and we've got this great caregiver. How do we get the cares over to the caregiver? We're told here we are to cast all our care upon Him. Well, I think you've got to first of all see a very important word before verse 7. You look at verse 5. It says in the middle of it, be clothed with humility. At the end of it, God gives grace to the humble. Beginning of verse 6, humble yourselves therefore. So, the context here is humility. And it's interesting how verse 6 and 7 are linked. You notice at the end of verse 6 there's a colon. Well, basically this means that the main verb here is humble. Humble yourselves. Casting. These are not like I humble and then I cast. It's humble yourselves. That's the overall verb, the overall action. And in doing this, you will be casting your cares upon Him. How is this linked? Think of the two words as humbling and hurling. Humbling yourselves and hurling your cares. Why is humility so necessary here? Well, think of the proud person with cares. The proud person doesn't recognize that he has any limitations. The proud person doesn't recognize he needs help. The proud person doesn't look at a situation and say, I can't cope. The proud person is utterly focused on self, on his own resources, on his own strength, on his own wisdom, and his own abilities, his own track record. I've done up to this point. I can do it in this case too. I've sorted out my life up till now. I can sort out this problem and that problem. I can do it. I'm self-sufficient, self-contained. So the proud person is never going to cast his cares on another, because he can cope. He can do it. She's able. She's got the resources. Casting cares cannot be done until there's been this casting down. There's no hurling without humbling, in other words. Notice verse 6 says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Now, wherever you hear the hand of God in Scripture, it usually means one of two things. It can be the hand of God in judgment, or the hand of God in deliverance. I believe it's the latter here. Peter's writing, remember, to a persecuted people. And he's saying, you know, what's your hope of deliverance? Your hope of deliverance is to humble yourselves, to submit to this situation, this providence. Accept that this is God's hand, because it's that very same mighty hand that will lift you up and exalt you and deliver you. But he's not going to do that if you just keep fighting and complaining and rejecting his providence. So he's saying, humble yourselves in the safest place, under that mighty hand that's going to reach down and lift you up. The apostle here is saying one of the humblest things we can do is look to the hand of God. One of the humblest things we can do is hurl our cares upon God. And that word casting does mean hurl. It's not just a kind of gentle lob. It's a forceful, energetic, and decisive action. It really contains the idea of violence almost. There's a boldness in it. There's a taking of these cares, and there's a hurling of it onto God. In other words, this is something you're to do confidently, boldly, bravely, repeatedly, decisively, energetically. Stir yourself up to it. This is not going to happen if you go into this half-heartedly and lethargically. This is something that requires conscious, deliberate, decisive determination. And it does, doesn't it? We can kind of go along and, oh, maybe I should put some cares to God. And you don't. The apostle's saying, you've got to put everything into this. This isn't going to be easily done. Hurl your cares on him, because he cares for you. And it's linked, isn't it? If he cares so much, then I can cast so much. He's waiting with open arms for these cares to come through the air, as it were, to him. Some people have found it helpful to actually write them down, to go home, write down, these are my cares, right? Search my mind, my life, these are all my cares. And then take the piece of paper and, as it were, put it over to God and push it away from yourself and pray over that process and say, that's what I'm doing. I am actually taking these cares, that one, that one, that one, that one, and that one, and I'm putting it away from me. It's no longer mine, it's his, and I'm going to leave it there. It's a wonderful spiritual exercise to be engaged in, isn't it? Try and think of, well, let me give you an illustration. I remember I sold a car when I was a teenager, and I think I got about $3,000 for it. It was a Friday evening, and all the banks were closed. And I had this money that I'd never had in my life before, and I didn't know what to do with it. And I spent, I must be honest, a fairly miserable weekend, just fearful, anxious that this money was going to disappear, or somebody take it, or I would lose it. Monday morning came, went to the bank, deposited it, walked out. What a relief. What a sense of a burden being taken away. I was no longer responsible for it. It was no longer mine. It was the bank's. It was to look after it. I no longer needed to worry, where was it and do I still have it? Really, this is what Peter's saying we should do with our cares. We deposit them with God. We take them, and we, instead of carrying them around with us all the time, we take them and we say, Lord, they're yours. I'm depositing them with you. I'm leaving them with you. You're going to be responsible for them. You're going to act externally or internally because you care for me, and I'm going to wait for this to happen. And I'm relieved. He cares for me. I walk away. He cares for me. He cares for me. Only insofar as you cast upon him. That's the challenge, isn't it? It's linked. You give him opportunity to care when you cast. You withhold that opportunity for him to care when you keep. Imagine a friend came along to you and said, you know that care in your life? Let me handle it for one day. That problem child, that elderly parent, that spiritual concern, you let that be mine for a day. All mine. You let me go and earn some money for you today. Really? I don't need to work. I don't need to worry. No, I've got a good job. I'll earn the money. I'll give it to you at the end of the day. Well, what a day you would spend, eh? It would just be, I don't need to work. Well, you might think, oh, well, you know, it's only a human being. Will he manage? Will she manage? Will she come through? Yeah, that's a valid concern, but we're talking about God here. It's he cares for you. And he is able. And he will come through. And he will provide. Cast your cares on him. But wonder if there's anyone here who's never done this before. You're still carrying your sins, the guilt of sin. You've never asked God to take that away from you. You feel that you've got enough good to balance out the bad, or you've managed to deny and deny and deny, and you kind of keep it boxed in. You have moments of anxiety and conscience, true, but on the whole, you cope. You cope, you cope, and you're going to try and keep on coping. Keep on carrying. Keep on living. Sometimes the fear comes to the front of the mind, but you can put it to the back again, Monday to Saturday mainly. But deep down, there's deep anxiety. You're carrying an intolerable burden, an unbearable burden, a weight that if you fail to cast it, it's going to cast you down to hell, to the bottomless pit. Take these cares, friend, and cast them first on God. These are your greatest cares. This is your greatest problem. This should be your greatest anxiety. I'm a sinner. I have sinned. I must be judged. Take these cares and cast them on God, because he cares for you. He is willing. He is anxious to take these cares from you, to relieve you of them. This is what Jesus does on the cross. That's what we come to remember next Lord's Day. His taking these burdens, bearing them, and burning them up in the wrath of God. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Let's pray. Our heavenly caregiver, please manifest thy care in this congregation. Please come into individual lives, into families, into this congregation, and show this wonderful truth of thy heavenly care for our earthly anxieties. And may there be much hurling of cares heavenwards today and in the coming week, that thy people may come to thy table unburdened. In Jesus' name, amen.